Good evening, everybody. Is that clear? Can anybody hear me? First time setting this up, so. For those of you that don't know me, my name is AJ. I serve here at the Young Adult Ministry with my lovely wife, Hannah. My full name, AJ is just initials, by the way. My full name is Abhishek Jasti. So I used to work with kids, so it's a lot harder for kids to try to say I used to get called Apple Jacks, which is the closest thing. So AJ just sounded better. AJ stands for Apple Jacks or Abshack, whatever you guys want to go for. So we will be in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. If you guys want to turn your Bibles there, we'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you now, Lord. We thank you so much. Just for the freedom we have to be able to gather together in a place like this, to be able to read your word, to be able to learn from you, Lord. Pray that as we read through your word tonight, that you would just speak through me, Lord, that you would just fill our hearts, Lord, and help us to understand what you have for us in front of us tonight, Lord. And I pray that you would just use my life as a reminder to each and every single person in here, Lord, that, Lord, you're not done in this world. There's still so much work that you're continuing to do. So I pray that it would just be a reminder of that and just bless the rest of the night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So when Pastor Bill asked me to teach on a Wednesday night, I was unsure as to what to teach upon because I've been going through I've been going through 2 Timothy with the young adults, and I'm more of a New Testament person just because I'm used to reading a lot of Paul's letters, and that's what Pastor Bill is going through. But 2 weeks ago, Pastor Bill comes up and tells me that, hey, you're teaching for Wednesday night. I never taught in front of a sanctuary. I've never taught in front of this group of people, and let alone I teach young men and young women that are around my age. So I brought it up. I said, okay, Lord, you're doing something. And when I spent time in prayer, I was so struggling as to what to teach on. And Sunday morning comes by, I'm still struggling. Pastor Bill pulls me into his office. He says, just talk about you. This is a get to know you, right? Get to know who AJ is. Get to know who you are. So, and that gave me direction. That was an answered prayer. So, and I landed on Proverbs chapter 3. For those of you that don't know, Proverbs, a great book of wisdom, written by one of the smartest men. And it kind of weaves into my testimony tonight here a little bit. So we're going to be looking at the first 12 verses. I'll read verse 1 through 4. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching. Sorry, I'm reading out of NASB. New King James, it says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandment, or my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. And these first 4 verses start off by the key themes that we see. 1 is remembering God's word. 2 is faithfulness and love. And 3 is favor with God and people. Now, how many of you in here have learned a lesson, a life lesson, the hard way? All of us, right? Example, how many of you were told from a young age to not touch fire? But yet, I, the dumb one, have touched fire to figure out for myself how much it hurts. And James, book of James, James chapter 1, verse 5, and this is the key topic that we'll be looking at. James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And wisdom is not something that we just get to know. It's not something that just comes by. It's something that you learn. It's something that you ask for, right? We, as believers, our source of wisdom comes from a book that this world seems to forget most of the time. And a part of my testimony is that. Now, I've been a Christian my whole life. My parents are the first couple that had a Christian marriage in both of their families. For those of you who don't know, the culture in India is an arranged marriage, and that's what my parents were married as. My dad and my mom both came from a Hindu background. They were raised in the religion of Hinduism, but at a certain age in their lives that they've turned their lives and given their lives to Christ. And since the start of their marriage, they've always, me and my brother, always instilled in us how important it was to memorize God's word. And at my first ever retreat at 12 years old that I've ever went to, we were tasked with memorizing a verse from Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. And I will never forget this verse. It says, "For whoever desires to lose his life for my sake will find it, and whoever loses life for, or whoever desires to save his life will lose it." And it's mixed around a little bit, but and it's such an easy verse. And from a young age, my parents instilled in me, like, the Lord's Prayer. You would always try to memorize the book of Psalms, different Psalms that we would go through. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, one measly verse, right? This is a group of junior highers in high schools, 12 years old, and we were asked to memorize just one verse. Now, during breakfast on one of the days at the retreat, it was asked, everybody was asked, "Hey, did they memorize the verse?" And me, I've had it commit to memory as soon as they said it. I couldn't stop reading it. I couldn't stop putting it down because I wanted it commit to memory. And I was a shy kid. And here's a little backstory as to why. I, originally from India, born in India, moved to the States when I was 11. So 2011 is when I first came to the States. And growing up, we've always had surrounded by people of same faith, people of same belief, right? We were in church every Sunday, we were in church every Wednesday, we were in church every day that you could think of, right? We were always surrounded, so it was encouraged to share your faith. It was encouraged to open up. But as soon as when I first came to America, I had a culture shock. It's not the same. You get a group of believers who are Catholics, who are of different backgrounds, right? You have people who don't know Jesus at all. And when I first heard that at the retreat, it wasn't my confidence that told me to stand up. Hey, just share the word of God. Just say the memory verse. I was shy. I shied away from putting my hand up. I shied away from saying the memory verse. And I was just sitting there at the breakfast table, mumbling under my breath the memory verse, because I knew it. And somebody heard me at the table, rose their hand, and said, "This guy knows the memory verse." So, and this is a group of people ranging from 11 to 18 years old, junior high and high school, right? And I was 12 years old. I was told to walk up in front of the whole dining hall to the front of it, and microphone similar to this, told to say the verse out loud. And coming from India, my English was not the best. Right, I had to learn a whole new language. English is not my first language, for those of you that don't know. And trying to say this memory verse out loud, I struggled with saying it, but I had it commit to memory. I understood it up here, but it was hard for it to come out. And it's like, as soon as I got to the mic, none of it mattered. Not what people thought of me, not what, who this kid is, not whatever. None of that mattered. And what I learned that day was what Solomon captured here in the three verses and four verses that we looked at. Right? It says, "Do not let your kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." And that day, not only did I win $100 for having that verse commit to memory, but I also will have that memory verse in my head, in my mind, in my heart for the rest of my life. And just as Joshua wrote in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "The book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And as a believer, that's where we should start, right? We tend to seek wisdom, we tend to seek knowledge, we tend to seek advice from others rather than what God gave you, right? A book that has knowledge so far beyond a man can understand, but it is right in front of us, and we struggle with it. And I'm here to remind you today that start memorizing these verses, right? It's as simple as Psalms chapter 1, John 3:16, John 3:17, right? It's having those verses ready for battle at an instant, right? You don't have much time, and this is at any point in your life when you have decisions or circumstances or situations that you put in. It's God wants to use you in those situations, but are we allowing God's word to flow through us? Are we allowing God's words to come out of us? All right. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Now, how many of you memorized that verse? A lot of us. We've heard it so many times. But the next verse, it says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Now, at that same retreat, when I was 12 years old, was the first time I've ever experienced what a relationship with Christ is like. Growing up, I've had the biblical knowledge of, hey, I know how to read a Bible. Hey, I know who Christ is. Hey, I know what it's like going to church. I know what's it like to do the traditions of being a believer. But at 12 years old, on that first retreat that I ever went to in August of 2012, during a worship session, I understood what it meant to have a relationship with Christ. I understood. I fell on my knees and I said, "Lord, I know who you are, but yet you're so distant from me. I understand. I read your word, but yet you're so distant from me." Because I never had that relationship. I never spoke to him as a friend. I've never spoke to him as a father until that night. And I could no longer just bear the burden of not understanding what this relationship meant. And when I gave my life to Christ, this was the verse that just sounded in my head over and over. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Right? What does it mean to trust in the Lord? What does trust look like in our lives, in believers, in everywhere around us? What is trust? Now, How many of you guys have done a trust fall? You know what a trust fall is. Do you believe, for those of you that have your spouse, do you trust your spouse? Right? Would you, if I were to stand up here and fall back, would I trust that my wife would pick me up? Right? Trust is not as simple as just believing. It's understanding that no matter what happens, is that Christ is right there next to you every step of the way. Right? It's not us, hey, he'll pick me up whenever he gets to it. No, it's he's there with you every single waking moment of your life. Right? Trust that God is leading you down the right path. God is teaching you what he wants to teach you. And that starts with opening up the Bible. Right? That starts with you reading his word. That starts with you understanding what he has for you. If you do not understand a person, how can you trust that person? Right? And verse 6, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Right? How do we acknowledge Christ? How do we know? And it looks different in all of our lives. Right? What Christ has done in all of our lives is so much different. Not every believer has a similar story. It's all a different aspect of it. But the one thing that we all do have in common is Christ who brought us together. Right? Verse 7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Now, in my 25 years on this earth, I have been wise in my own eyes way too many times. I have tried to take matters into my own hands way too many times instead of letting God handle the situations. And I can tell you, since that day in August of 2012, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows, right? I gave my life to Christ, and I started to have a relationship with him, but it wasn't me always trusting God and what he has for me. I've had my rebellious teenage years. I've had my choice of wrong decisions due to my flesh. And to this day, I am still constantly working each and every single day to continue to trust the Lord. It's not, hey, Lord, I remember back then, I'm saved now, I'm good, I'll get into heaven, I trust that. No, it's each and every single day that we continue to trust that the Lord, your God, is there with you each and every single step, and that you need to surrender everything unto him. Trust that he has it in control. And yes, we fail, we're all human, we all make mistakes. But you guys all know the good news, right? That is why you're here. If you don't know the good news, the gospel, the first four books of Matthew, first four books of the New Testament, right? God came down. He sent his only son to die on a cross for you and me so that we can believe in him, so that we will not perish but have everlasting life. Right. And verse 8, it says, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Now, this took me a while for me to understand this verse. Health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now, why would you, fearing the Lord and departing from evil, will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones? And as much of my time that was spent on looking at this verse, the simplest thing that came to my mind was just look around you in this world. All the evil that is taking place, all the lives that are being affected by it. There is no fear of the Lord. Right? There's no departing from evil. There's people running towards evil in this earth. There's people running away from God and saying, this is what I choose, this is what I want. And you can see it in their lives. You can see their health decline. You can see their bones breaking. And it breaks your heart to see that. Right? As believers, we have something that is in front of us that can change a perspective, change a person's life for eternity. But yet, they choose to run away from it. And it breaks your heart. Verse 9, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father the son in whom he delights." Just as the father the son in whom he delights. And a couple key themes that we see in these last four verses is, one, giving God your first priority. Right? God, when he is above everything else, there are things that are done in your life that are miraculous, that are in this world called supernatural, that are far beyond what human brain can explain. And there's also provision and trust, similar to what we looked at in the last four verses. God's provision is consistent. It's constant, right? And that only starts with when your trust in him is consistent and constant. And to kind of highlight this, these four key verses, there's a story in my life that that I want to honor God in front of you all today with. And this story, it's been 15 years in the making, right? And ever since I came to the state. And like I stated earlier, I moved to the States in 2011 when I was 10 years old. And in the first couple years here, it felt like a vacation, right? I didn't really think I was gonna stay here for a while. I didn't really think that this place would be home, but it felt like a vacation. And I thought we would eventually head back to India and resume our life there. But as the years went on, and as I started making more friends and grew connections at church, and as I started to grow, I realized this was our new home. For me, my brother, my mom, and my dad. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm originally from California. I lived in California for the past 12, 13 years of my life. That's where I grew up. And the connections I made at the church over at Calvary Chapel, Cyprus, that's where I grew the most spiritually, physically, mentally. And with that place, God did a lot of things, not only through me, but through the believers of that church. And that's where I met my wife, for those of you that don't know, Calvary Chapel of Cyprus. But with the realization of that, this here, the States, were going to be my home, also came the doubts and the worries. Right? What about my legal status? I was dependent on my dad's work visa up until 21 years old. And my dad had applied for the green card for my mom, my brother, and I back in 2015. And we knew this was going to be our long stay home for some time now, and we were hoping to become a permanent resident. Now, we were under this blanket of being a permanent resident without a green card for 10 years, because once we applied, we were covered. But with this blanket, there was also a constant reminder of, at any given point, the application could be rescinded, you could be sent back, and it could be for any unforeseen reason. Fast forward 10 years, So 2025, in the month of June, both my mom and my brother received their green card, but mine was rejected. And oh, come the overwhelming doubts and worries that run through your head. What about my wife? I just got married. I got married in February of 2025. I moved to Michigan in November of 2023. So I have lived away from my parents for a couple years. I went back, got married, and came back, and have lived a couple months away from everybody else, and just lived a couple months with my wife. And I've started my life here in Michigan. But here comes the doubts and worries of being kicked out of the country. I was put into immigration court hearings where a judge appointed over me to decide whether I was here legally or I was going to be kicked out. And up to this point, there was no doubt in my mind that I was here legally up until this judge sent this letter for court hearings. I've had all my documents in order. I tried to do everything in my power to prove that I'm here legally. And it got to the point where I had to stop. I had to sit down and realize that this is not in my control. This is not something that I can change people's minds. This is not something that I can make happen overnight. This is not something that can be fixed in this instant. And through the trials that my family and I faced with all the legal battles to have a legal presence in this country for the past 15 years that we've been here, the one verse that my mom always held onto came to my mind. And if you guys don't know, with any type of immigration proceedings or hearings, every 2 years, you have to renew your application status. If you don't get the green card within time, you have to renew it again every 2 years. So it's a every 2 year battle, constantly wondering if they'll approve, wondering if you're gonna stay in this country or not. But this verse in Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 10, it says, if you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down. And I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disaster that I brought upon you. And I knew at that point there was nothing that I could have done. Nothing in my hands that could be made that could make this right. I needed to give it all unto God. I needed to trust Him. We sometimes forget that God holds the past, the present, and the future all in the fingertips of His hand. Right? We get caught up so many times in the things that are surrounding us, that are overwhelming us, that we forget a simple, God, I give this unto you, takes it all away. And throughout my life, I've received a lot of corrections and instructions from my father who is in heaven, to my father on this earth, to my mentors, and to my fellow believers. And to this day, I will continue to choose to accept the discipline, because we hate to be corrected. I'm sorry, we, as humans, anything that we do wrong, we hate to be corrected. I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to be told what to fix. My way is the right way. And I struggle with that. I bet many of us do in here. And it's a continuous goal of mine, is to continue to choose to accept the discipline from your fellow brothers and sisters, from your family members, from, most importantly, God who's given you his word. This is where your discipline should come from. And like I said earlier, God always knows what's best for us. Don't try to choose your own path. Don't try to choose your own way to do things. And I tell you this story because I want you to see that God's been faithful throughout the past 15 years that I've been here. And he's been faithful in all of your lives. Right? It's not just mine. And I say that story because I want to honor God in front of all of you, most importantly, because as of February 6, 2026, I've officially got my green card in hand. And God's done a miracle through all the legal battles that we had to go through to the judge who quickly glanced over my documents and said, "You're good to go." Everything that God has done. And it was as simple as saying, "God, there's nothing for me to worry about. This is all you. This is all in your hand. Stressing about this, making my life worse by worrying about situations that I can't control, ruining my health, as Solomon said, for things that are out of my control. And most importantly, I didn't give you priority, God. I was so bombarded with things to do, things to figure out, that I forgot to give you priority. And there's times in our lives where situations will like this will arise each and every single day, if so. But it's what we choose to do with God's word, God's wisdom, and God's instruction at this point. And there's a couple questions that I've written up and discussion questions that we can talk about. And you can kind of use it as a guideline to see where our lives are at currently. Number one, in the first four verses that we looked at, what practices in your life, what activities, what things to do will help you remember God's word more? It could be reading the same verse or same chapter before your daily devotion. Let's say you're already doing that. Let's say you're already trying to do this every day. But why is being consistent so difficult? And this is to look within, right? I struggle with this. My goal is to have chapters of Bibles memorized. If you guys don't know, me and my wife like to have memorization competitions. It's a good way to continually strengthen one another and also grow in Christ together. Number two, from the verses 5 through 8 that we looked at, what areas in your life are the hardest to surrender unto God? And most importantly, if they are hard to surrender, how can you acknowledge Christ in those areas? And number three, the last part, what does honoring God look like for you in your day-to-day lives? And I want to end on this last verse, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Simple instructions, yet we forget, we fail, we stumble. But I pray that we, as believers, we continually strive to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just come before you now, Lord. Lord, what you've done in my life is just a small example of what you've done in all of our lives, Lord. Lord, you grab a hold of our attention, our hearts, Lord, tonight. And as we just, Lord, as we start to commit your word into memory, Lord, I pray that you just put it at the forefront of our minds as we wake up, as we go to bed, Lord, to go through our day-to-day lives, Lord. Let your words just be on the tip of our tongues. Let your words just be on the forefront of our minds, Lord. Let it just saturate our hearts. Let this wisdom be understood. Let this wisdom be acknowledged, Lord, knowing that you, the one true God, who holds all things in your hand, the creator of all things, who made us in your image. Lord, you know all things. So I pray that we would continue to surrender everything unto you, Lord, to trust in you and to obey your word, Lord, that you would just continually grow us, continue to mature us, continue to strengthen us, Lord. And I pray that you would just be with us throughout the rest of the night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.